Well, good evening. Good to see you this evening. I appreciate you being here. I was telling Brother Tommy, I feel right at home. Bound to be some of these folks are kin to me. I know they're kin to some of y'all, at least. But it's good to see you tonight. I appreciate you being here. We should be able to hopefully finish up tonight this study that we've been going through in Psalms 37, verses 1 through 40, and we're in verse 27 tonight. As Karen's already got that, but we're talking about and have been talking about how to live wise in a wicked generation. You know, the times are tough. We're seeing a lot of things that's coming to fulfillment that I never would have dreamt of in my lifetime. Just things that I, you know, that's this unreal that's taking place. But, you know, there's still a world that we have to live in, a world that we have to maintain, a world that we have to try to make the Lord Jesus Christ look good in this day and time. And that's tough for us to try to look good, but especially tough for us to try to make him look good. But that's our job, that's our duty, that's what we need to be doing, and that's what we should be doing. I don't know about y'all, but it is warm in here tonight. I don't know if you are or not, but it's exceptionally warm. Don't be offended if I get rid of a coat here in a minute. I may pull a Robert Smith. But anyhow, verse 27, depart from evil and do good. Do good and dwell forevermore. You know, we've got a job just to maintain and try to do good forevermore. And it's a tough thing to do that in the day in which we live. There's something seemingly some kind of onslaught that takes place on every hand. Every way that we turn in the day in which we live, there's some kind of adversity that that we have to try to maintain or try to put up with. But verse 27, the greatest blessing that has been bestowed upon the child of God is that we have been given eternal life. You know, we get down. The Bible tells us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's that hope that I have and that you have on a daily basis when things are tough, when things seem like they just impossible in a lot of different areas. I think about those things that are ahead. I think of that blessed hope that I have one of these days that regardless of what takes place down here, that I have all of eternity, where there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, the former things are passed away. And, you know, it gives me kind of an uplift. And it will you if you'll think about that. I also think about some of the things in the past, even though Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. But he's not talking about the things I'm talking about. He's talking about the old ways, the old things. The old sins that you were part of before you got saved. Paul wants you to think about eternal life. He wants you to think about the point of salvation. He wants you to think about the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. But one of our greatest blessings is that that's been bestowed upon us that we have eternal life. That means to never die. That old song, Keith, I'll never die, just get promoted. And that's what's going to happen one of these days. In our present state of existence, we enjoy the abundance, this abundant life that comes from knowing and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a pleasure and what a great privilege it is to be able to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, know him as our personal Savior, and know that he's my elder brother. He's my Lord and my Savior. He's the King of Kings. He's coming back for us. And what a blessing that is to be able to think about those things. It's a quality of life that we have that will never end when you have eternal life. And what a wonderful blessing that is. At death, we'll be immediately transported. The Bible said to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. And you know, when Daryl closed his eyes in death the other day, he was just immediately, I don't believe those eyes got closed. I don't believe that heart quit beating hardly before he was in the presence of the Lord. And we're not here to preach Daryl's funeral, but just come to mind. But anyhow, I believe the absent from the body is to be present. And I believe it's an immediate thing that takes place immediately. In verse 28, the Bible says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsake not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." We're dealing with the righteous and the wicked in this whole study. That's what it's all about, to give you and I hope that what takes place with the wicked, God is not winking at that. He's not turning a blind eye to it. He's not turning his back to it. But to let us know that God is just, and God's going to take care of every situation. Nothing takes him by surprise, folks. He knows everything that takes place in my life, your life, what has taken place, what will take place, and what's going on at the present time. God knows about all of that, so nothing takes him by surprise. The Lord loves justice, the Bible says there. The Lord loveth judgment. That's justice. And will protect the people, his people, forever. He's going to take care of his children, just like a good father, which he is a good father. Whereas a good father will take care of their children. Now, a good father won't take, a bad father is not going to take care of their children, but he's a good father. And he's going to take care of all of his children. He's going to do it properly. Everything's going to be just right. Whereas you and I've often said one of the greatest miracles that I know of. Now, I know of a lot of miracles in the scriptures, but it happens in our life is when two young people can get married at 18, 19 years old, can have a child, and that child can live. And you don't have a clue how to take care of those children. You've never had children before. You don't really know what to do with them. That's not one of the greatest miracles I know of. And for the vast majority of the time, unless there's some kind of illness or some kind of sickness or something that's wrong, they live. Even when you feed, you know, nowadays you can't feed children anything with just stuff that's been pureed and that kind of stuff, you know, and all this baby food and stuff like that. Our oldest son, when he was about 2 months old, he was eating biscuit and gravy. And he lived. And they'll tell you that's the worst thing in the world you can do. But we didn't know any better. But anyhow, that's one of the greatest miracles. But God loves justice. It's because the Lord loves justice that he will never abandon the godly. His children, he loves them. We belong to him. Know ye not, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. That's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've been bought. You don't belong to yourself. When you got saved, that ended. Even though you thought, before then that you was 6 foot tall, that you were bulletproof and all that kind of stuff. After that, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can rest in the blessed assurance that we're preserved, we're watched, we're kept, we're guarded by God every moment of the day. The Bible said he neither slumbers nor sleeps. I mean, he doesn't even nod off like George does. George, don't do that tonight. I'm watching you. I'm just kidding, George. George, my buddy. But anyhow, nothing in the universe can ever overpower him to get to us. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Listen to what John says in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. The Bible says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which give them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. "For I'm persuaded as well. Are you persuaded? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. from the love of God. The wicked, however, are unprotected. They will perish eternally through God's judgment one day. One day, God's going to take care of that. We seem to get concerned about those things sometimes, but it's not for us to be concerned about. Likewise, so with the children that take up their evil habits. You know, I wondered years ago, I was probably about 40 years old, 2 or 3 years ago, and there was things that was going on in my life. They were not bad things, but they were things. And I got to think about those, and I thought, where did those come from? And I realized that we are a product of our upbringing. The things that we were taught when we were younger, I mean, they stuck. Good, bad, or indifferent. But like I said, that was talking about here, likewise, so will the children that take up their evil habits of their parents. They're going to perish as well unless they change, unless they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Verse 29, the Bible said the righteous shall inherit the land. That land many times is translated into heaven and will dwell therein forever. It sounds like heaven, doesn't it? Verse 29, God's children eternally will enjoy their inheritance that God has given them. And just like the children of Israel, those that would go into the promised land, they would inherit that. Just like us, we have eternal life. God will take care of us. We are his children, and we'll inherit the promised land, or that land, that eternal land that dwells up there. Verse 30, the Bible says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Because the righteous learn and offer wise counsel, they teach right from wrong. The Bible said that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. If you know right from wrong and you don't teach that, then you're sinning. Basically, is what the scripture is talking about. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. But for us to be able to impart wisdom, that's what the scripture is talking about here. The Lord will bless the righteous because their words should convey his wisdom. Should convey his wisdom. If we're what we should be, then we will speak of his righteousness, tell of his goodness, and convey the wisdom that he has imparted to us through the Holy Spirit. The righteous fear the Lord has led them to an understanding of God's timeless truth and principles that they should teach others. In Proverbs 1:7, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Just the beginning now. Not the end of it. But is the beginning of knowledge. The fear. That's when you're just getting started to have knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. Do you remember a time in your life when, well, the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There was a time, even though you may not have said that, you thought that. Because otherwise you had not accepted him as your Savior. You didn't know God, know anything about him. But at one time, all of us were fools. We'd said in our heart, there is no God. We turned away from him. But we realized that there was a God. And besides him, there is none else. Also, the godly stand for what is right, warning of God's judgment and his pending judgment, what's to come, and declaring that what is just in the sight of the Lord. It's our duty as Christians, folks, to pass along what God and what the Holy Spirit has given to us. If we do not do that, and we do not impart the wisdom and the guidance that the Holy Spirit has given us, shame on us, because that's the responsibility that you and I have, to be able to tell others about his goodness and his mercy. There's no limit to his him being able to save individuals from the guttermost to the uttermost. God will save anyone, anytime, unless they've crossed that line. Verse 31, the Bible says that the law of God, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You know, the Bible deals with the heart many times, with the mouth confession, and with the heart believeth unto righteousness. Who confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in the heart. Much is said about the heart, but it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. When the righteous honor God's word, is almost impossible. Almost impossible when they honor his word, staying in his word, practicing his word, hiding it in their heart, it's almost impossible for them to slip. You'll stay close to God, God will stay close to you. That's just how it works, men. The wise words of the righteous reflect what they have hidden in their heart. That's the righteous. Their heart, what's in their heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. What's in that heart's going to come out. Something to come to mind. I'm not going to go into it. Don't have time tonight. But anyhow, the law, the commandments of his holy word in Psalms 119 and 11. The Bible said, thy word, Psalmist David, King David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God or against thee. He'd hid the word of God in his heart. And when something come up that he knew he should not do, something he should not maybe partake of, something he thought about saying, didn't say it, or some kind of mischief he was tempted to get into, the word of God that he had hid in his heart through the Holy Spirit of God, don't do that. Don't do that. And that's the way God works with you and I. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 7. Hearken unto me, ye that knoweth righteous people, in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. You know righteousness, people. It's in their hearts, what the Bible said there in Isaiah chapter 51 there. Because they walked according to God's commandment, their steps, the Bible said, his steps shall not slide or will not slide. In other words, the word of God through the Holy Spirit of God will help them to stay on course to do what they're supposed to be doing. Verse 32. The Bible said, the wicked watcheth the righteous. And do you believe that? I mean, the Bible says it. I know you believe it. But think about that. The wicked, they watch the righteous. But let me tell you something else. Saved people watch the righteous too. You're their guidance. Should be their guidance. That's the reason it's so important. Be careful what you say, where you go, and what you do, wherever you're at. Somebody, I promise you, is watching you. I know probably everybody's not this way, but I guarantee you I can go to New York City, never been there before in my life, don't have any intentions of going there. But I guarantee you I can go there, and I'll see somebody I know. It never fails, seemingly. But saying that brings about the point that you have to be careful, folks. Just because you're not in the homeland, if you're from New York, ever who's listening tonight, no reflection, but that's not my land up there. This is my homeland down here. But they're just, you know, I have no business up there. Anyhow, because they walk according to God's commandments, their steps will not slide, the Bible said. If you stay with God, he'll stay with you. You hide the word of God in your heart, you can trust it. You can hang on to it. He'll help you. No temptation is ever given to man, but what he will not make a way of escape to be able to get you out of that. No excuse for any of these temptations there. But it says the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him, to slay him. Do you know that the wicked, based on this, doesn't like you? He just doesn't, they just don't like you. It's not that they don't necessarily like you, don't like your ways. You should be convicting. Your ways and your mannerisms, your words should convict, should have the convicting power upon them when they see you or even around you. They should be uncomfortable to some degree because of what you're conveying. You should be conveying the Lord Jesus Christ. The wicked have always despised the righteous and the truth that you stand for. And that's what's supposed to come out as we walk about our daily walks of life there. They're waiting in an opportunity to persecute, even destroy, says there, and to seeketh to slay him. They don't care for you. A lot that's going on over in Middle East now, and there's such a uneasiness there, and it's because of what we're talking about there. Not that they know that the Jewish people are God's chosen people, and they're not, and because of that, that's causing dissension in so many different ways. But that's part of what we're talking about there. Verse 33, the Bible said, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. I believe God will vindicate his people one day when they're falsely judged or falsely accused. I believe God will take up that. And God doesn't, again, he doesn't wink at anything. But he's just in everything. And I believe God will vindicate that one of these days. Saying we think, and I'm like Brother Tommy lots of times. I've been this way most of my life. There are a lot of things I'd like to help him with. But he don't need my help. Brother Tommy, he don't need yours either, does he? But we sure would like to help him every now and then. That's just that old nature, I guess, that's kind of rising up. But God doesn't need our help. He's going to vindicate. All of this is going to be brought out one of these days, hours. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible said, and give an account of the things we've done in the body, whether it be good, whether it be bad. Our works will be tried as by fire. And likewise, those when they stand at the great white throne of judgment, their works are going to be tried as by fire. And that's when judgment of the wicked is going to take place at that particular time. But we need not get involved in God's judgment. Just know that God is in control. And we must look beyond this present, what's taking place today. And I know that's hard many times. I understand that. I'm not telling you something that's impossible. But I know sometimes it seems impossible to look beyond those things, because they seem to gnaw on you after a while, the different things and how the wicked seems to prosper and how that they seem to get by with everything that seemingly they should not. But God doesn't need our help. He does not need our help. We just need to let God be God, and besides him there is none else. And remember, one day in the future, God's going to judge. His judgment will make everything right. His judgment will make everything right one of these days. No stone is going to be unturned, so to speak. And I know he's not going to be turning over stones. But as we journey down life's pathway, we're often tempted to turn our head from the righteousness that God has commanded us to be. And we see those things at how the evil or the wicked are prospering. And many a Christian that has come and gone over the years has succumbed to that particular type evil and wickedness and sin, and they have turned away from God and went the way of that. And if they stayed that way, I know God tried to get them back. They belong to Him, folks. You belong to Him. We talked about that a moment ago. But He tries to bring them back, and if He don't bring them back, I'm confident He'll give them every opportunity. He will not always keep on and keep on and keep on, but I think eventually they're His children, and God will take them out, and He'll bring them home. He will not have any reproach upon His name. We need to keep that in mind. And one day, the promises of Psalms 37 will be fulfilled. All the wicked will get what they deserve. All the righteous will get what they deserve. And as we journey down life's pathway, we often are tempted to turn away from this righteousness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That tells you what's the cause of it. In times like these, one must go to the rock, the cornerstone, the rock of all ages. We need to keep our eyes focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, in everything that we do. I know it's hard. It's difficult at times. But as King David said, we should love God's word. We should hide the word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against God. The more you have in your heart, there's many times that I have witnessed to individuals over the years, some reason other than have my Bible with me, but I had committed the word of God to my heart. And they would be a scripture that would come somewhere from out of there. And I'd quote a scripture that I probably had not read in seemingly years, but the Holy Spirit brought that back to my remembrance where I had hid that word in my heart. So it would be a benefit to that individual that they might be able to be saved. But through the cleansing power of God's word and the power of His indwelling spirit, we can overcome the desires of the flesh. Through it all, the child of God can hold fast to the path of righteousness and enjoy the riches, blessings of God upon him all the time. If we'll just hold on and do what God would have us to do. John chapter 15, I'm going to read several verses of scripture for you that'll back this up. 15:3, now you are clean through the word. That's how you got clean, folks, through the word, which I have spoken unto them. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible said, let the word of Christ. You notice it keeps going back to the word. It's the word that saved you. It's the word that's going to keep you. And it's the word that one day is going to transport you to your heavenly home. It's the word, through the word. The word of Christ dwelleth in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Do you have a song in your heart to the Lord? 1 John chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Those things that tempt and try you and hinder you on a daily basis. Those lusts that we talked about, they're not of the world. They're of the world, but they're not of the Father. Need to keep those in mind. Verse 34 through 40 tells us to place your hope in the Lord's deliverance and walk favorably. Put our hope in His deliverance, knowing that one day everything is going to be rectified. Everything's going to be taken care of. We have our politicians, and the corrupt as some of them are, and they get caught with various things that's going on in Washington, and and they talk about it, they run it to death, they talk it to death, and nothing ever happens. That just works on me. I just be honest with you. But that's not going to be the case one of these days. God's going to take care of everything. No, nothing is going to be has been unseen to him. In these last verses, David concludes with the with one last contrast between the righteous and the wicked. That's what this is all about. Instead of fretting over evildoers, and that's what we'll do if we're not very careful. We should wait on the Lord, rest in the confidence or the confident expectation that he will do all that he has promised. There's not a one of you in here, if this auditorium was full and sitting in each other's lap, there's not a one of you could tell me a promise that God's made that he hadn't kept. God keeps his promises. That's the only reason I can stand up here, Brother Tommy can stand up here, and you can maintain as a Christian on a daily basis, is because we know that God keeps his promises. He cannot lie. And that gives me hope, should give you hope on a daily basis, that all the promises that he has made, and I've heard of 32, 3400, and there's various types of promises, but every one of those promises will be kept. Many have been kept. Many will be kept. All of them will be eventually kept. But verse 34 there, the Bible says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. He's going to exalt us one of these days to inherit that land. And what was that land we was talking about? That's heaven. But that's talking about the Israelites back then. But for us, the land is heaven. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. We'll know about all of that. He'll exalt you. He'll give you the promised land, which is heaven for us. You will see the wicked cut off. It'll help us to focus, folks. We need to focus many times on our future rewards. What's coming? You know, I used to, years ago, I'd take a vacation. I loved to hunt. And I would book a vacation to go hunting. And it really didn't matter lots of times if I got to go or not, but it gave me something to look forward to. There were several of them that things would come up and it was just not feasible business-wise to be able to go. But I enjoyed it all the way up until then. It was a little bit of a letdown for a few days. Then I was good to go again. But that's what we need to do. We need to focus on the things that are these promises that God has given us. When we get down in the mully grubs and get to feeling down and out and, just feeling sorry for ourselves, there's no reason for that, none whatsoever. If you think about the promises that God has promised you and what's in store for you in the future, they should never be a reason for anybody to be depressed or down and out in anything of that nature. God is faithful. He's just. And he will not forget our faithfulness. God's not going to forget that. He's keeping a record of all these things. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your works. He's not unrighteous to forget them. And your labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God's keeping a record, folks. You know, I'm not good at keeping records many times, you know. But God is. He maketh no mistakes. The Lord will exalt us. He'll honor us. He'll raise us up on that day when the wicked are cut off, and we'll reign with Christ forevermore. We will inherit the promised land with Christ, and we'll live eternally in the new heaven and the new earth. There, when all of this is destroyed and the wicked is gone, we're going to live with him eternally throughout all of the ages. But for now, you know, we can think about those things, like I mentioned. Think about those things of before. But for now, we must, through the dark days of the present ages, we must hold fast to this light of hope. And we must occupy. The Bible says we must occupy until he comes. There's still work to do. There's still things to do. We need to maintain. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. I admit, there's times it'd be easy to quit. Seemed like that would be the course. But then, you know, you get to thinking about what I was talking about, these heavenly things that's to come. And, you know, you don't want to quit. You quit or don't want to quit. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power. And many of us have. He's reminding us again, is the wicked and the righteous. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreadeth himself like a green bay tree. But give me 36, Karen. Yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. God takes care of both ends of this thing, folks. We need to keep that in mind. He's not turning a blind eye, anything of that nature, because you will see the wicked and the ruthless when you see them flourish in this world, and we're going to see them flourish in this world. That's part of it. But until that day, we can expect the injustices of the sinful world to continue. I mean, they're going to keep on. But we need to keep our minds and our heart focused on what needs to be focused on in this day. This old world today is heavily influenced by Satan. This is fertile ground for wickedness in our day and time to thrive. But the Bible said he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan, listen, folks. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. Hopefully, before I get out of this pulpit. But he may not. But I'm telling you, wickedness is getting worse every day. We got to learn to maintain. We're going to have to learn to occupy until he comes, keep doing what he asks us to do, and just be patient. That's not a word I know a whole lot about. I know a little bit about it, but that's about all. But David testifies that he has seen the wicked flourish like a tree in its native soil. That's what David is saying there when he talks about that tree. But he goes on and says, but yet he passeth away. They always die, is what they do. It's pointing out a man wants to die. And when they do, they totally disappear from the face of the earth, never to be seen again. I sought him, but he could not be found. Could not be found. God took care of him. And God moved him on out of the way and going to move him out of the way. We won't be hindered with him. A new heaven and a new earth. Evil does not endure, neither does all they have possessed while on the earth. What they have is going to fade away. All their gain that they have gained is going to be gone. They're not going to take anything with them. It's just for a fleeting moment that they're going to enjoy these things. The Bible says there's pleasure. Pleasure in sin for a season. Just a little while. And then you're going to pay for it, is basically what it's talking about there. David directs our attention to the end or future, both of the righteous and the wicked. First, he challenges us to consider, wants us to consider the perfect or the blameless people who have walked in righteousness and integrity. Just like the wicked, they die. They're going to die. Everybody's going to die. It's pointed that a man wants to die. But they have future. The wicked do not have a future beyond this life. There's no more future for them. We have eternal life, but they have not. Future, a future filled with peace, but we have a future filled with peace, joy, safety, happiness, prosperity, favor, and holiness for the blood-bought child of God. Folks, listen to me. The best is yet to come. All of this is going to be trivial one of these days. It's going to be behind us, but the best is yet to come. Verse 38, Karen. But the transgressor shall be destroyed. That's those the evil, the sinful, the ungodly shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. All sinners, those who have rebelled against God, will be destroyed. The Bible says they have no future. You and I have a future, folks. 180 degree different, the child of God. The saved. Saved has all kind of future. I mean, we've talked about that. New heaven, new earth. All transgressors who have rebelled against God will be utterly, utterly destroyed. When they die, they will be completely cut off. The wicked will be completely cut off. It's over with. Nothing for them no more other than the bottomless pit is what they've got to look forward to throughout all eternity. The Bible said there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth throughout all of eternity. They will surface again only to receive their final judgments at that time at the great white throne of judgment. We talked about that earlier. For the wicked, there's nothing beyond this life but judgment and the internal punishment that they deserve because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Rejection of Christ. Everyone knows that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. When a person goes to hell, they go there as an intruder. It's not made for them. It's made for the devil and his angels. But God promises judgment upon the wicked. It'll come to pass until we live in eternity with Christ. We must continue to live in this old world of darkness, folks. It's getting worse. It's harder. It is harder every day to live for Christ. But with Him, all things are possible. Because the world is getting more wicked, I believe the Lord's coming back, as I was going to say just a moment ago, looking for Him any moment. But I'm telling you, the devil is more in tune with that. He's working toward that end to try to doom and damn souls, trying to get as many as he can before that time takes place. But we need not fret or fear because our salvation is from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It didn't come from anywhere else. He will sustain us throughout all the troublesome life and will ultimately deliver us from evildoers of this age. He's going to deliver us one day, George. My friends, we live in the midst of a spiritual warfare on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Just because we're in the flesh don't mean we have to be partakers of the flesh. Don't mean we have to do the things of the flesh, though we are in the flesh. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not our fight. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Third part of the angels fell when they were cast out. Third part of them. Some of them are reserved in chains in outer darkness there. Some of them are so wicked that God hadn't even turned them loose. But there's a third part of an innumerable, a number that cannot be put upon them, is roaming around down here somewhere. And, you know, they're following you around on a daily basis, following me around, trying to get me to do things I shouldn't be doing. But that's those spiritual wickedness in high places. That's rulers of darkness of this world. Of course, we've got a lot of those, some of those in Washington. But we're living in the midst of a spiritual warfare is what we're living in, folks. It's like I said, it's getting harder and harder on a daily basis. You're going to have to work harder on a daily basis to be able to serve the Lord in this day. But until Christ returns, to destroy these enemies and take possession of this old world. We can overcome all that opposes us through faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:4, love this verse. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He, the Holy Spirit, that is in you than he that is in the world. He's your guide. He's your teacher. And he helps you if you'll let him. You don't let him, he won't help you. Got to let him help you. 1 John 5:4, the Bible says, for whosoever is born of God, the blood-bought child of God, is what it's talking about, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I love that we live by faith and not by sight. A thought, instead of looking around at all of the evils and injustices of the world, we need to look up. Folks, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's getting closer than we ever imagined. And we need to look ahead to the day he conquers his enemies and rules the world. This psalm, there's only two types of people, the righteous and the wicked, is what we've been studying about. While the wicked may prosper for a while due to the unjust gain, their judgments is certain and they're final. It is the righteous who is held, kept, and saved by Yahweh. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that holds us. He's the one that saved us. The child of God commit their ways to Him, trust Him, and wait for Him to act. We shall one day inherit all that God promises of peace and prosperity in this land. It's going to come to pass one of these days, folks. Just occupy until it comes. It'll all take place. His promises are forever. They don't run out. They have no time limit on them like so many things that we know of. Buy your groceries at Kroger down here and your time limit's going to run out if you're going to get gas. Right, Terry? It's got a time limit on it. They'll take it back. The wicked, however, pass away abruptly. They burn like the grass. Burn like the grass. They're gone. They have no substance. They're grounded only in time, and the time comes, their time will come to an end. It's going to come to an end, folks. I promise you. It's going to come to an end. The righteous find their substance in the Lord. They are grounded in Christ, and He will never pass away. He assures their place in His kingdom. God Himself will resolve the problem of evil. Then the righteous will shine forever as the noonday sun. I'll give you some scriptures and we'll be done. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled. A lot of troublesome times today, aren't they, in this day in which we're living? A lot of talking of peace. And we all love peace. I don't like the bickering and the fighting and the carrying on and all of that. But peace is what's on the mind of everybody today, just about. Are they going to be at peace? And our president's trying to broker peace amongst nations. But unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. He's going to take vengeance on those. And that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished. We're talking about the evil now. With everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Jude, verses 14 and 15. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his angels, of his saints, to execute judgment. Judgment upon all, to who convince all that are ungodly, among them of all of their ungodly deeds. We're talking about those evil ones now. That's what's going to happen. Which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Psalms chapter 52, verses 5 through 7. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away, pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. Verse 6, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Verse 7, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. Didn't recognize God. God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to his heart. Tried to woo him unto repentance, and he would not. He turned a deaf ear to him. Would not give his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. We've talked about what's going to happen to him. There's going to be an end to him. And that's the great white throne of judgment. Proverbs 20 and 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee.